You're listening to IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Disabled. Welcome to today's reading of the Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil for November 20th, 2023. I'm Cruz Mons from Drake University. Here's our first story. Avenue Scholars Went at Foster Investing Tuesday by Scott Stewart, the Nonpareil. While many nonprofits are seeking donations for Giving Tuesday, Avenue Scholars Southwest Iowa is challenging the community to make an investment in young people seeking stability in their careers, finances, and overall lives. Through its Investing Tuesday campaign, the organization asks businesses, community members, organizational advocates, and other supporters to commit to a long-term investment. Avenue Scholars Southwest Iowa is on a mission to reimagine the narrative surrounding charitable giving, according to a news release. Rather than a one-time act of generosity, they envision a sustained investment in the potential of the region's youth, cultivating a talent pipeline that will not only benefit the individuals involved, but also contribute to the economic and workforce development to truly transform the future. The organization provides a range of programs for more than 300 students in the region to help equip them with the skills and support they need for a successful future. Avenue Scholars Southwest Iowa focuses on career stability through mentorship, internships, and vocational training. It offers financial literacy programs and scholarships to boost financial stability, and offers mental health, counseling, and community engagement initiatives to assist with life stability. Investments made now will not only transform individual lives, but will also contribute to a more robust and prosperous Southwest Iowa in the years to come, according to the release. Businesses are asked to recognize the potential of Avenue Scholar Southwest Iowa clients as future skilled workers, innovators, and leaders. Community members, on the other hand, are asked to invest in the well-being of their neighbors. In this paradigm shift from giving to investing, Avenue Scholar Southwest Iowa aims to create a ripple effect of positive change, according to the organization. By investing in the organization, supporters are not just providing immediate assistance, they are actively participating in the creation of a sustainable, thriving community where every young person has the opportunity to reach their full potential. On to national news, GOP hopefuls talk about pregnancy. DeSantis, Ramaswamy share wives' miscarriages by Aaron Murphy. Lee Gazette Des Moines Bureau. Ron DeSantis and Vivek Ramaswamy on Friday both shared personal family stories. For the first time, they said, of their wives' miscarriages, Nikki Haley explained her wish to expand Republican support for conservative abortion policy. Abortion policy was a major topic of discussion on Friday when the three Republican presidential hopefuls attended an event hosted by the Family Leader, an Iowa-based Christian conservative organization. Abortion policy was also the main point among Democrats who were talking about the event. At the Family Leader's Presidential Thanksgiving Family Forum, DeSantis, Haley, and Ramaswamy appealed to roughly 800 people in a downtown Des Moines hotel conference room. Former President Donald Trump declined an invitation to the event. Family Leader President and CEO Bob Vander Plaats has criticized Trump at times during the presidential campaign. South Carolina U.S. Senator Tim Scott had accepted an invitation to the event, but he suspended his campaign last weekend. Vander Plaats moderated the roughly 90-minute forum from the three candidates. Vander Plaats did not, as he suggested before the event that he might endorse one of the candidates for president. Candidates share personal stories to talk abortion policy. DeSantis, the governor of Florida, shared the story of his wife having a miscarriage while they were trying to get pregnant for the first time after having difficulty conceiving. Unfortunately, we lost that first baby, and it was a tough thing because this is something that we had so much hope for, DeSantis said. But we just kept the faith. We just kept praying. We knew that there would be a path that God would lead us on. And lo and behold, a short time after we did it, we had our first baby girl. I think it showed me, one, life has a long and winding road. Keep the faith, DeSantis said. But it also told me, you know what? This is special. I've got to fight for these kids, and I've got to fight for all these kids. Ramaswamy, a biotech entrepreneur from Ohio, said he became opposed to abortion through logic by believing that life begins when brave waves begin. He also shared that his wife, Apoorva, had a miscarriage when they were first trying to get pregnant. Ramaswamy said the next time his wife became pregnant, they were told she was having another miscarriage, but at an appointment the next day, doctors detected a heartbeat. Soon after, their oldest son, Karthik, was born. That was a life. That's this guy here, Ramaswamy said. As Karthik came up to the stage, where he sat in Ramaswamy's lap for the remainder of the forum, I think that that's what gives us our commitment. Yes, there's a logic of it, but when you bring life into this world, you'll protect a life. born and unborn. Haley, the former South Carolina governor and U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, also described having difficulty getting pregnant. When she was asked about her answer to a question about abortion policy during a recent nationally televised debate, Haley explained her goal of rallying more support to conservatives' cause. If we're going to have this conversation about the several anti-abortion law, we do need to tell people the truth because it is causing division and demonizing an issue that is incredibly personal to every woman and every man, Haley said. Noting as she has in the past that any federal legislation would require 60 senators in support, and that Republicans have not had 60 senators in more than a century. So we can't ban abortions on the Republican side any more than the Democrats can ban them on these state laws, Haley said. So if we're focused on how do we save as many babies as possible, then let's come together and say, what can we do? Haley suggests common ground on the issue should include banning late-term abortions, encouraging adoption, prohibiting the requirements of doctors who oppose abortions to perform them, and not charging women who have an abortion with a crime. Asked later if she would sign, as a governor, a ban on abortions once a fetus's heartbeat can be detected, Haley said, yes. Whatever the people decide, I think it's right to be in the hands of the people. Democrats decry GOP on abortion. The Democratic National Committee launched a new billboard campaign in Des Moines ahead of the Family Leader event in a Trump campaign rally Saturday in Fort Dodge. The billboards call out Trump and other candidates running for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination over their support for what the DNC said are extreme abortion bans. Iowa Democratic Party Chairwoman Rita Hart and Minnesota Democratic U.S. Senator Tina Smith, speaking to reporters ahead of the event, highlighted how Trump paved the way for states like Iowa and others to further restrict abortion access with his appointment of conservative justices in the U.S. Supreme Court, who overturned federal abortion protections. The pair also criticized Republican candidates, including DeSantis, who supported a federal ban on abortion at 15 weeks of pregnancy. Iowa Democrats often point to a Des Moines Register/MediaCom Iowa poll from March that found 61% of Iowans think abortion should be legal in all or most cases. Not one of these candidates is in sync with Iowans, Hart said, of the Republican presidential hopefuls. Iowans value their freedoms, and they know that neither Donald Trump nor Governor Ken Reynolds belong in the exam room with Iowa's women. Hart also said that the family leader has done everything in their power to strip away reproductive rights from women, and said DeSantis, Haley, and Ramaswamy are tripping over each other in hopes they will be extreme enough to earn Vanderplatz's endorsement. Candidates jockeying, tailing Trump. Trump has held a consistent and commanding lead over the remainder of the primary field in polling, both in Iowa and nationally through this year. His support in polling and rolling polling averages in Iowa is 47% at Real Clear Politics and 44.9% at 538, while second place DeSantis is at 17.3% and 18% respectively. The race for second place in Iowa played out of the family leader stage Friday as well. So just as the event was getting started, the DeSantis campaign announced a website dedicated to criticizing Haley. The site, the DeSantis campaign says, will highlight positions that the DeSantis campaign claims shows that Haley is not the conservative she pretends to be. DeSantis recently was endorsed by Republican Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, who is very popular among Iowa Republicans. Reynolds broke with tradition in becoming the first sitting Iowa governor since 1995 to endorse a presidential candidate before Iowa's first in the nation caucuses. Reynolds has already appeared on the campaign trail with DeSantis and was scheduled to join him at a campaign office opening event Saturday morning in a Des Moines suburb. Also on Friday, just before the Family Leader event began, the DeSantis campaign announced a new round of endorsements from 52 Iowa faith leaders. DeSantis now has more than 100 such endorsements, his campaign said. One of the new endorsements came from Pastor Darren Whiting of Liberty Baptist Church in Cedar Rapids. DeSantis is an ally to the faith community here in Iowa. Will stand firm for the truth, and I know that, as a president, his faith will continue to be his anchor, Whiting said in a news release from the DeSantis campaign. I am proud to join his faith and family coalition and look forward to caucusing for him in January. Haley's campaign, also just before Friday's event, announced the endorsement of Marlis Popma, a well-known figure in Iowa Republican politics. Popma has worked on multiple campaigns, led the state Republican Party, and been a leader in Iowa anti-abortion organizations. Popma said that she went into an event with Haley earlier Friday, undecided, but after hearing Haley, decided to support her in the caucuses. I walked into an event undecided, but came up unconditional support for her candidacy, Popma said in a news release from the Haley campaign. Haley has been a governor and knows how to balance budgets and trim government waste. As former ambassador to the United Nations, she brings a unique foreign affairs perspective paralleled by no other candidate. This article also includes several photos as well. The first photo reads, Republican presidential candidate Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, left, speaks during the Family Leader Thanksgiving Family Forum as Republican presidential candidate businessman Vivek Ramaswamy, center, and Republican presidential candidate former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, right, look on, Friday, November 17, 2023, in Des Moines. The picture showed DeSantis on the left, Ramaswamy in the middle, and Haley on the right, sitting in front of a table that seems to be decorated for Thanksgiving. Pumpkins sit beneath it, and leaves in fall color sit up on top of it. There is also a screen behind them which reads, Thanksgiving Family Forum 23, a presidential discussion around the dinner table. The next photo reads, Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy holds his three-year-old son Karthik as he speaks during the Family Leaders Thanksgiving Family Forum Friday, November 17, 2023, in Des Moines. The photo has Ron DeSantis in the background and Nikki Haley in the foreground, with Ramaswamy focused in the center, holding his son. There's also one more photo as well, which reads, Republican presidential candidate Florida Governor Ron DeSantis speaks from the Family Leaders Thanksgiving Family Forum as Republican presidential candidate businessman Vivek Ramaswamy, center, and Republican presidential candidate former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, right, watch on, Friday, November 17, 2023, in Des Moines. The picture shows an alternative angle to the first photo, in which Ron DeSantis is in the center with the other two in the background. It focuses on Ron DeSantis, who seems to be giving some kind of speech. Israel-Hamas war. Sick infants transferred. Babies now receiving urgent care in southern Gaza city of Rafah. Najib Jovain and Sami Makhdi. Khan Yonis, Gaza Strip health officials, said 31 premature babies in extreme critical condition were transferred safely Sunday from Gaza's main hospital and will go to Egypt, while over 250 patients with severely infected wounds and other urgent conditions remain stranded days after Israel forces entered the compound to look for Hamas operations there. The newborns from Shifa Hospital, where power was cut and supplies ran out while Israel forces battled Palestine militants outside, were receiving urgent care in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. They had dehydration, hypothermia, and sepsis in some cases, said Mohammed Sakwot, director of Gaza hospitals. Four other babies died in the 2 days before the evacuation, he said. A World Health Organization team that visited Shifa for an hour Saturday said hospital corridors were filled with medical and solid waste, increasing the risk of infection for patients who were terrified for their safety and health and pleaded for evacuation. 25 staff stayed behind. The UN agency said the vast majority of patients had amputations, burns, or other trauma, and many wounds were severely infected with antibiotics unavailable. Missions were being planned to evacuate the remaining people to southern Gaza in the next 24 to 72 hours. Pending guarantees of safe passage, to the WHO said. Later Sunday, Israel Army said it had strong evidence supporting its claims that Hamas maintains a sprawling command post inside and under Shifa. Israel has portrayed the hospital as a key target in its war to end Hamas's rule in Gaza, following the militant group's wide-ranging attack into southern Israel 6 weeks ago. The army said it found a 60-yard tunnel about 10 feet under the hospital's 20-acre complex, which includes several buildings, garages, and a plaza. It said the tunnel included a staircase, blast-proof door, and a firing hole that could be used by snipers. The Associated Press couldn't independently verify Israel's findings, which included security camera video showing what the military said were two foreign hostages, one Thai and one Nepalese, taken to the hospital following the October 7th attack. The army also said an independent medical report had determined that a female Israeli soldier, Corporal Noah Martiano, whose body was recovered in Gaza last week, had been killed by Hamas in the hospital. Hamas and hospital staff earlier denied the allegations of a command post under Shifa. Critics describe the hospital as a symbol of what they call Israel's reckless endangerment of civilians. Thousands in Gaza have been killed in Israeli strikes, and there are severe shortages of food, water, medicine, and refuge in the besieged territory. With this article comes a photo as well. The photo reads, Thousands of Pakistanis protest war in Gaza. Thousands of supporters for Pakistan's main religious party, political party, take part in a rally against Israeli airstrikes on Gaza to show solidarity with Palestinian people Sunday in Lahore, Pakistan. The photo shows a large crowd with some trees on the right and some street lights down the middle. with thousands of people holding flags of Palestine. SSA overpayment problem tops $23 billion. Agency says payments were mistakenly made and can't get them back. KFF Health News. A new financial report released by the Social Security Administration last week shows that the scope of the agency's overpayment problem has continued to grow. As of October 1st, the SSA had an uncollected balance of $23 billion in overpayments, money the agency had determined it mistakenly paid to beneficiaries across the country, but had not been able to claw back despite repeated attempts to do so. In September, a series of investigative reports by KFF Health News and Cox Media Group television stations first revealed the magnitude of the problem and shared the experiences of dozens of people who have received letters from the federal agency demanding repayment, sometimes in the tens of thousands of dollars. At the beginning of fiscal year 2023, the agency's uncollected balance of overpayments was $21.6 billion. Its latest agency financial report also revealed that the SSA made about $11.1 billion in new overpayments to beneficiaries during federal fiscal year 2023, the most recent year of data available. That figure represents more than 65% increase from overpayments made the previous year. For the past several years, the agency routinely distributed between $6 billion and $7 billion in new overpayments each year. The report shows the majority of the 2022 overpayments occurred within the Old Age, Survivors, and Disability Insurance (OASDI) programs, an estimated $6.5 billion. Those programs provided retirement and survivors benefits to qualified workers and their families, or support workers who became disabled and their families. In prior years, most of the overpayments obscured within the Supplemental Security Income Program, which provides financial support to aged, blind, and disabled adults and children who have limited income and resources. In 2022, overpayments within the SSI program topped $4.6 billion, which is similar to previous years. The SSA has not yet responded to a request for an explanation of the significant increase in overpayments within OASDI. The report said $1.6 billion of the OASDI overpayments and $287 million of the SSI overpayments were within the agency's control, meaning they weren't the beneficiary's fault. In recent years, beneficiaries told KFF Health News, Cox Media Group TV reporters, they had no idea they were receiving too much money in their monthly checks until they received a letter from the Social Security demanding repayment, often within 30 days. "I almost threw up when I opened that letter," said Lori, a Florida woman who didn't want to disclose her last name. She received a notice saying she owed $121,000, a debt she said was later erased following a multi-year fight with the SSA. The notices often arrive years after the alleged overpayments occur, and by that time, the money owed can balloon to dollar amounts impossible for beneficiaries to repay. Protests spur cancellation of political events, by Adam Beam, Associated Press. Sacramento, California demonstrators demanded a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war, prompted California Democratic officials to cancel evening events during their state convention on Saturday for the safety and security of our delegates. California Democrats were meeting in Sacramento this past weekend to consider candidate endorsements ahead of the March primary. That includes the state's competitive U.S. Senate race featuring four Democrats, including three sitting U.S. House members. The convention was disrupted multiple times Saturday by demonstrators demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. Party officials had increased security for the weekend convention, requiring participants to be scanned and have their bags searched before entering the convention hall. Following the afternoon session, a large crowd of demonstrators gathered at the hall. Sacramento police closed some roads near the convention center, but soon reopened them. Saturday evening, shortly after voting ended, party endorsements Democratic Party spokesperson Sarah Yang said the evening's events had been canceled. "Due to circumstances beyond our control and for the safety and security of our delegates and convention participants, we are canceling tonight's caucus meetings, hospitality suites, and vote fest taking place at the convention center," Yang said. The cancellation overshadowed a strong showing by U.S. Representative Barbara Lee, who was the top vote getter among Democrats. Now for the digest. Mass shootings, suspect found dead. Memphis, Tennessee. A suspect in Tennessee died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound while on the run Sunday after a series of shootings that killed four of his female relatives and seriously injured a fifth person, police said. Officers found the body of Mavis Christian Jr., 52, in his car during a manhunt following shootings at three locations in Memphis that left three women and a teenage girl dead and a teenage girl critically wounded, the Memphis Police Department said. Russian drones pound Kyiv, Ukraine. Russian drones targeted Kyiv on Sunday as the British Defense Ministry said there were few immediate prospects for major change along the Ukraine front line as the war entered its second winter. Russia launched 20 Iranian-made Shahed drones overnight, targeting the Ukrainian capital and the Cherkasy and Poltava regions. According to a military statement, Ukrainian anti-aircraft systems shot down 15 of the drones. The overnight strike on Kyiv is the second attack on the Ukrainian capital in 48 hours, said the city's military administration spokesperson, Serhiy Popko. Briefly, severe weather. The National Weather Service's Flagstaff, Arizona branch sent staff Sunday to the town of Star Valley to survey the aftermath of a possible tornado. The agency announced on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. Officials from this town said at least 10 homes were damaged, according to ABC 15 Arizona. Ron DeSantis. Republican presidential candidate Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is refusing to condemn Elon Musk's post endorsing an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, maintaining Sunday that he wasn't familiar with the post despite it prompting major companies to pull advertising from the social media platform. I did not see the comment, DeSantis said on CNN's State of the Union. New Hampshire. Investigators in New Hampshire were probing for answers Sunday as to why 33-year-old John Medor shot a security guard to death at a New Hampshire psychiatric hospital moments before being killed by a state police trooper. France police. The mother of 17-year-old Nahel Merzouk June, who was killed during a traffic stop in France, led a protest Sunday to call for justice after the police officer suspected in the fatal shooting of her son was released from custody pending further investigation. Freeway fire. An elevated Los Angeles freeway closed for more than a week because of an arson fire was expected to reopen ahead of Monday morning's commute. A day earlier than previously announced, the weeks ahead of the original estimate, California Governor Gavin Newsom said Sunday. The November 11th blaze shut a mile-long stretch of Interstate 10 near downtown. Satanic Temple. An eastern Pennsylvania school district has reached a settlement with the Satanic Temple in a lawsuit that alleged this district discriminated against the students by barring one of the group's after-school Satan clubs from using a school building earlier this year. The American Civil Liberties Union for the Saucon Valley School District had agreed to pay $200,000 in attorney's fees and to provide the Satanic Temple the same access to school facilities as is provided to other organizations. Today in history. Today's highlight. On November 20, 1947, Britain's future queen, Prince Elizabeth, married Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, at Westminster Abbey. On this date, in 1789, New Jersey became the first state to ratify the Bill of Rights. In 1945, 22 former Nazi officials went on trial before an international war crimes tribunal in Nuremberg, Germany. Almost a year later, the International Military Tribune sentenced 12 of the defendants to death. Seven received prison sentences ranging from 10 years to life. Three were acquitted. In 1952, President-elect Dwight D. Eisenhower announced his selection of John Foster Dulles to be his Secretary of State. In 1967, the U.S. Census Bureau's population clock at the Commerce Department ticked past 200 million. In 1969, the Nixon administration announced a halt to residential use of the pesticide DDT as part of a total phase-out. In 1992, fire seriously damaged Windsor Castle, the favorite weekend home of Britain's Queen Elizabeth II. In 1998, 46 states embraced a $206 billion settlement with cigarette makers over health costs for treating sick smokers. In 2000, lawyers for Al Gore and George W. Bush battled before the Florida Supreme Court over whether the presidential election recount should be allowed to continue. In 2003, Michael Jackson was booked on suspicion of child molestation in Santa Barbara, California. Jackson was later acquitted at trial. Record producer Phil Spector was charged with murder in the shooting death of an actor, Lana Clarkson, at his home in Alhambra, California. Spector's first trial ended with a hung jury in 2007. He was convicted of second-degree murder in 2009. In 2012, former boxing champion Hector Macho Camacho was shot while sitting in a car in his hometown of Bayamon, Puerto Rico. Camacho died 4 days later after doctors removed him from life support. In 2015, Jonathan Pollard, former U.S. Navy intelligence analyst, was released from his prison after 30 years behind bars for spying for Israel. In 2017, CBS News suspended Charlie Rose, and PBS stopped distribution of his nightly interview show, called after a Washington Post reported carried accusations of sexual misconduct from 8 women. On gardening. Head to the North Pole. Arbor Vitae is perfect choice for Christmas and beyond, by Norman Winter, Tribune News Service. The North Pole is waiting for you. I'm not talking about a geographic location or small village where jolly Saint Nick and his crew are making toys, but a tree or shrub that will put you in the holiday spirit for the season and years to come. North Pole is a selection of arborvitae, Thuja occidentalis, that will have you singing Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. I've seen displays of them at a local garden center recently, and they even had red ribbons as if shouting to shoppers, "Here's your living Christmas tree." But stop the presses. This beautiful North Pole arborvitae is not just for Christmas. It can become your front porch focal point during spring, the pinnacle of your patio garden in the summer, and of course, your living Christmas tree next year too. The Garden Guy got two North Pole arborvitae in 2021, and since has fallen madly in love with them. You may also find other conifers to suit you during the Christmas needs. The Garden Guy is a closet conifer junkie. That being confessed, another one of my favorite living Christmas trees that I have going is Soft Serve Gold False Cypress. The False Cypress is known botanically as Camei Cyperis piscifera. It is recommended for zones 4 to 8, and as the name suggests, it has foliage that is bright and golden throughout the year. So, for Christmas, it was adorned with lights and ornaments, and in May, showing out as the Thriller Plant with Super Bell's Tangerine Punch and Black Currant Punch Caliber Chaos and Lime Green Dulce Huchura. The front porch area is obviously the place for my Christmas display setup. It is hard to believe this area is so close to the front door. It's frequently visited by deer, foxes, and other creatures that I do not know. It is not uncommon to find several Christmas ornaments from the tree glistening brightly 30 feet away down the slope. So, the Garden Guy is relegated to using decorations that will not break once they hit the concrete surface. I planted my living Christmas trees in the self-watering ceramic aqua pots. I have a combination of tall red and shorter white selections to add to the holiday color scheme and to partner with lighted candy canes. I added a couple of strings of white lights to make it festive. The self-watering aqua pots really come in handy as December watering chores are mostly eliminated. Consider the North Pole arborvitae for a living Christmas tree this year. Your children or grandchildren will get a kick out of the name and have fun helping decorate it too. With this article, there is a photo as well. It reads, "A living Christmas tree is the perfect way to say welcome." Norman Winters, Tribune News Service, and shows a picture of a front door with a wreath on it, and in front of that, the living Christmas tree, sitting in a red pot with ornaments of white and red on it. Birthdays for November 20th. Actor Estelle Parsons, Roseanne, is 96. Comedian Dick Smothers is 85. Singer Norman Greenbaum is 81. Actor Veronica Hamill is 80. Broadcast journalist Judy Woodruff is 77. Musician Jill Walsh is 76. Actor Richard Mazur, One Day at a Time, is 75. Actor Bo Derek is 67. Drummer Jimmy Brown of UB40 is 66. Actor Sean Young is 64. Pianist Jim Brickman is 62. Actor Ming-Na Wen Mulan is 60. Rapper Mike D of the Beastie Boys is 58. Rapper Sen Dog of Cypress Hill is 58. Actor Callie Thorne, Rescue Me, is 54. Actor Sabrina Lloyd, Numbers, is 53. Actor Joel McHale, Community, is 52. Actor Marissa Ryan, New York Undercover, is 49. Country singer Derek Bentley is 48. Actor Joshua Gomez, Chuck, is 48. Country singer Josh Turner is 46. Actor Nadine Velasquez, My Name is Earl, is 45. And actor Jacob Pitts, Justified, is 44. You're listening to the Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil for November 20th, 2023, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Handicapped in Des Moines. I'm Cruz Munz from Drake University. IRIS volunteers love to hear from listeners. If you have any comments or questions about this or any IRIS program, please call toll-free from anywhere in Iowa at 515-243-6833. The next subject that I will be covering is obituaries. For November 20th, 2023, there are no obituaries. For November 19th, 2023, there are also no obituaries. For November 18th, I will start with James Walter Lidgett, September 17th, 1946 to November 13th, 2023. James Walter Lidgett, 77, of Lake Charles, Louisiana, passed away on November 13th, 2023 at Harbor Hospice after a lengthy illness. He was born on September 17, 1946 in Atlantic, Iowa, to Maurice Doris Lent-Ligan. A graduate of Thomas Jefferson High School in Council Bluffs, Iowa, James worked as a dedicated salesman for Nebraska Distributing. His love for family and friends was evident in the joyous gatherings he cherished. He was a proud Iowa Hawkeye and L.A. Dodger baseball fan, and he also had a passion for cars. James is survived by his loving wife, Nancy Catherine Liggett, his daughters, Marine Sue Gadbois and Karen Lee Saunders, his granddaughter, Chelsea Sue Felix, his great-grandchildren, Tishton Allen Sivers, Rhett Scott Dean Felix, and Wayne Jimmy Lee Felix, his in-laws, Shirley Nevins, Roger Schmidt, Carolyn Arvin, and their families, along with other family and friends. He was preceded in death by his parents and his brother, Dean Liggett. A massive Christian burial will be celebrated at 11 a.m. on Monday, November 20, 2023, at Our Lady Queen of Heaven Catholic Church, located at 3939 Lake Street, Lake Charles, L.A. MSGR Daniel Torres will serve as celebrant. Cremation has been entrusted to Johnson Funeral Home of Lake Charles. A memorial gathering and an interment will be held in Council Bluffs, Iowa at a later date. Words of comfort to the family may be expressed at www.johnsonfuneralhome.net. Kathleen Ann Rovlin Roberts, June 4, 1938, November 13, 2023. Kathleen attended Underwood Community School from 1st through 12th grade graduation. She attended Creighton's St. Joseph's School of Nursing, attaining a bachelor's degree in nursing in 1959. She began her career working in labor and delivery at St. Joe's Hospital in Omaha. In 1962, she moved to the Honolulu, Hawaii, to work at Queens Hospital in labor and delivery. She married Jim Roberts in 1970 and moved to Anchorage, Alaska, where she worked at Anchorage Community Hospital in nursery nursing. She moved to a new hospital, helping establish the first alternative birthing center in the state in 1976. She enjoyed cooking, traveling, and pursuing extended family genealogy, and later, spending time at the senior center. Kathleen is survived by stepson James Jimbo Roberts Jr. of Fremont, California, sons Scott and daughter Megan, both of Anchorage, Alaska, sister Eileen Biddle, husband Don of Henderson, Nevada, brother Larry Rovlin, wife Judy, deceased, Marlene, of Council Bluffs, Iowa, sister Janine Evans, husband Bill of Woodbridge, Virginia, three grandsons, and one great-grandson. She was predeceased by her parents Eldon and Florence Ryan Rovlin of Underwood, Iowa, her husband Jim Roberts of Anchorage, Alaska, and her brother Terry, surviving spouse Mary Lee of Underwood, Iowa. Burial will be at St. Columbus Catholic Church in Weston this summer. Dennis R. Kaufman, July 7, 1937, October 16, 2023. Dennis R. Kaufman, aged 86 of Council Bluffs, passed away October 16, 2023 at CHI Mercy Hospital, Hospital. Dennis was born July 7, 1937 in Council Bluffs to the late Sherman R. and Rita B. Hayes Kaufman. He attended Thomas Jefferson High School and proudly served his country in the U.S. Navy for 4 years. Dennis married Lois Adkins on September 13, 1958 in Council Bluffs. They were pleased with three children, John, Denise, and Paul. Dennis was a building specialist for Safeway Stores for 10 years. U.S. West/Quest for 28 years, and retired from KETV Omaha as their building specialist. In addition to his parents, Dennis was preceded in death by his brother, Donald, and his sister, Betty. Dennis is survived by his late wife of 65 years, Lois Kaufman, children John Kaufman, Denise, Neil, Arbogast, Paul, Candy Kaufman, eight grandchildren, and four great-grandchildren. Gravesite service and burial, Wednesday, November 22, 2023, at 2 p.m. in Memorial Park Cemetery. Military rites will be tendered by the Canesville Honor Guard. Family and friends to meet at the cemetery. Cutler O'Neill Mayor Woodring Funeral Home and Crematory, Bayless Park Chapel, 545 Willow Avenue, Council Bluffs, 322-7779. CutlerO'Neill.com. Dora Weiss, July 27, 1930. November 15, 2023. Dora J. Weiss, age 93, passed away at Midlands Living Center November 15, 2023. She was born July 27, 1930, to the late John and Frances Fisher Sorensen in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Dora retired from the Council Bluffs Public Library. In addition to her parents, she was preceded in death by her daughter, Mary Frances Weiss, brothers Jean Sorensen, John Sorensen, and Joe Sorensen. Dora is survived by her daughters, Karen Weiss and Bev Weiss, twin brothers, Gordon Sorensen and Tom Eunice Sorensen, nieces, nephews, and cousins. Memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. at Hoyle Kilnoski Funeral Home on Monday, November 20th, 2023. Visitation will be during the hour prior to the service. Memorials are suggested in the Council Bluffs Public Library. In Memoriam. Kenneth Finnegan, November 19th, 2013. We miss you in so many ways. We miss the things you used to say. And when old times we do recall, it's because we missed you most of all. We miss you this much. Debbie, Jude, Abby, and Alex. Now on to the NFL Roundup. Late FG lifts Browns past Steelers. Associated Press, Cleveland. Dustin Hopkins kicked a 34-yard field goal 2 seconds left after Cleveland rookie quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson completed 4 straight clutch passes, giving the Browns a 13-10 win Sunday over the rival Pittsburgh Steelers. Making just a second NFL start, Thompson-Robinson rallied the Browns just days after Deshaun Watson was lost for the season with a shoulder injury. DTR, and Watson watching from Cleveland sidelines in sweats. Thompson-Robinson, a fifth-round pick from UCLA, calmly completed his 4 passes for 29 yards to set up Hopkins. This article includes a picture which shows Browns place kicker Dustin Hopkins left, celebrating his game-winning field goal against the Steelers on Sunday in Cleveland. Behind him is the opposing team in a crowd. Lions 31, Bears 26. David Montgomery's go-ahead 1-yard touchdown run with 29 seconds left against his former team lifted host Detroit to a comeback victory over Justin Fields in Chicago. The NFC North-leading Lions overcame 4 turnovers, including Jared Goff's season-high 3 interceptions, and a 12-point deficit over the last 3 minutes and 6 seconds to rally for the win. Detroit has its best record through 10 games since 1962, giving the franchise a shot to win a division title for the first time in 3 decades. Texans 21, Cardinals 16. Standout rookie C.J. Stroud threw for 336 yards with 2 touchdowns, and host Houston overcame his season-high 3 interceptions to beat Arizona. The Texans have doubled their win total from last season and have won 3 games in a row for the first time since a 9-game streak in 2018. The Cardinals had a chance to win late. Kyler Murray threw a deep pass on 4th and 8 that was intended for Marquise Brown, but Steven Nielsen batted it down with 35 seconds left. Jaguars 34, Titans 14. Trevor Lawrence accounted for 4 TDs, including 2 perfectly thrown passes to Calvin Ridley, and host Jacksonville followed its worst loss of the season with the drubbing of Tennessee. Ridley finished with 7 catches for 103 yards, finding the end zone twice for the first time with the Jaguars. Lawrence also ran for 2 scores for the first time in his 3 NFL seasons, becoming the first player in franchise history with 2 touchdown passes and 2 rushes scored in the same game. Jacksonville scored on 5 consecutive possessions. Cowboys 33, Panthers 10. Dak Prescott threw for 189 yards and 2 touchdowns. De'Ron Bland tied an NFL record with his 4th pick, 6th of the season, and Dallas trounced host Carolina for its 4th win in 5 games. Tony Pollard ran for 61 yards and a touchdown, and CeeDee Lamb found the end zone again for Dallas in front of a predominantly pro-Cowboy crowd. Dolphins 20, Raiders 13. Jalen Ramsey caught a game-sealing interception to help stifle Las Vegas' fourth quarter comeback, and Miami overcame 3 turnovers to hold off the Raiders at home. Packers 23, Chargers 20. Jordan Love threw for 322 yards and found Romeo Doubs for a 24-yard touchdown with 2 minutes 33 seconds left to give Green Bay a home victory. Giants 31, Commanders 19. Sam Howell threw 3 interceptions among 6 Washington turnovers, and the Commanders may have reached the low point of a Ron Rivera's tenure with a home loss to last place New York. 49ers 27, Buccaneers 14. Brock Purdy threw a 76-yard strike to Brandon Ayuk for 1 of his 3 touchdown passes, and host San Francisco beat Tampa Bay. Rams 17, Seahawks 16. Lucas Havrizik made a 22-yard field goal for host Los Angeles with 1 minute 31 to play, and Jason Myers missed a 55-yard attempt for Seattle with 3 seconds left. Bills 32, Jets 6. Josh Allen threw 3 touchdown passes, and the Buffalo defense responded to a change in coordinators by scoring on 6 of its first 8 possessions in a home route. Broncos 21, Vikings 20. Cortland Sutton caught a 15-yard pass from Russell Wilson with 1 minute and 3 seconds to play to give Denver a win over visiting Minnesota. Wilson went for 27 for 35 for 259 yards and 1 touchdown. Sutton had 4 catches for 66 yards. Around the NFL. Jones, Bosa, exit early with injuries. Green Bay, Wisconsin. Los Angeles Chargers, edge rusher Joey Bosa, and Green Bay Packers running back Aaron Jones were each carted to their respective locker rooms after getting hurt on separate first half plays Sunday at Lambeau Field. Bosa limped to the sideline after hurting his foot during the game's opening series. Once he got to the sidelines, he started lying on his back in pain with his hands on his head. Bosa went into the medical tent and eventually got carted into the locker room, holding a towel over his face. Jones suffered a knee injury during a 2-yard run late in the second quarter. He was helped by the sideline and also went to the medical tent before getting taken to the locker room. 6 plays after Jones' injury, Packers reserve running back Emmanuel Wilson hurt his shoulder and also was carted to the locker room. All 3 players were announced as out for the rest of the game early in the third quarter. The injuries to Jones and Wilson left A.J. Dillon as the team's only available healthy running back. Briefly, Bills. Buffalo safety Taylor Rapp was moving his hands as he was loaded into an ambulance after sustaining what appeared to be a head injury late in the first half against the New York Jets on Sunday. Rapp was hurt when he and his teammate Taron Johnson both struck running back Breece Hall in the open field. Cowboys. Dallas owner Jerry Jones said former head coach Jimmy Johnson will be inducted in the franchise Ring of Honor on December 30th when they host the Detroit Lions. Jones made the announcement on Fox prior to the Cowboys game against the Panthers. College basketball, top 25 recap. Number 5 UConn pulls away from Indiana at Empire Classic. Associated Press. New York. Tristan Newton had 23 points and 11 rebounds as number 5 UConn pulled away in the second half for a 77-57 victory over Indiana on Sunday in the Empire Classic at Madison Square Garden. After winning their first 3 games by an average of 39 points, the Huskies, 4-0, got their 4th double-digit win thanks largely to Newton, who also had 6 assists. 5 days after being held in 10 points against Mississippi Valley, Newton made 7 of 16 shots. He finished 2 shy of his career high for rebounds. Cam Spencer added 18 points for the defending national champions, who led for the final 33 minutes 21 seconds in their first meeting against Indiana since 2019. Alex Caraban scored 13, and Donovan Klingon grabbed 9 rebounds as the Huskies shot 44.6% and out-rebounded Indiana 44-22. Malik Reneau led the Hoosiers 33-1 with 18 points. He helped Indiana State within striking distance by scoring 15 in the first half, but fouled out with 7 minutes left. Reneau had little help. Leading scorer Kel-El Ware was held to 11 points on 2 of 10 shooting as Indiana shot 37.8%. Number 3, Arizona 101, UT Arlington 56. Kylan Boswell scored 13 of his 15 points in the second half, and host Arizona scored 20 straight points spanning the end of the first half and start of the second in a rout of UT Arlington. The Wildcats, 5-0, had 7 players score in doubled figures and have had 5 with 10 or more points in every game this season, while averaging 99.6 points. Boswell, the reigning Pac-12 Player of the Week, shot 6 for 10 from the field and 5 for 6 in the second half, including 3 three-pointers. Omar Ballo had his 15 points on 7 of 8 shooting, and Caleb Love had 10 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. Arizona shot 52.1% overall and 57.9% in the second half. Shamar Wilson led UTA 2-2 with 19 points on 8 of 12 shooting, and no other teammates made more than 3 field goals. Number 6, Houston 69, Dayton 55. NJ Cryer scored 18 points and Jamal Sheed had 16 as Houston ran past Dayton to win the Charleston Classic title in South Carolina. Sheed had a season high in points and had 7 of his team's first 9s as they opened a 10-point lead less than 6 minutes in. It was the first Charleston crown and 34th overall for the Cougars, 6-0. Cryer had 4 of Houston's 8 three-pointers. Darren Holmes, the second, had 16 points to lead Dayton 3-2. Number 12, Miami 91, Kansas State 83. Nigel Pack scored 20 of his 28 points in the first half against his former school, and Miami topped Kansas State 3-2 to win the Baja Mar Hoops Bahamas Championship. Norchad Omier scored 23 for the Hurricanes, 5-1, who are essentially assured of tying a school record by being in the AP Top 25 for the 17th consecutive week when the new poll comes out Monday. Miami also had a run of 17 consecutive appearances in the 2015-2016 season. Uga Poplar and Matthew Cleveland each scored 15 for Miami. Number 16, USC 81, Brown 70. Boggy Ellis scored 28 points and Isaiah Collier added 24 to lead Southern Cal to a home victory over Brown. It wasn't easy. Ellis scored 16 points in the first half for the Trojans, 3-1, and was pivotal late in holding off the pesky Bears. He made a long three-pointer off an inbounds pass by Harrison Homery right as the shot clock expired to give USC a 79-70 lead with 33 seconds left. A few moments earlier, Brown's Felix Kloman was called for a foul and technical foul. Ellis made his 2 free throws and Collier made the technical free throws to give the Trojans a 76-70 lead. Those three throws proved to be the differences against the Bear. Number 18th, Michigan State, 81, Alcorn State, 49. Trey Holloman scored 17 points, and Jaden Atkins added 13 to help host Michigan State roll over Alcorn State. Cohen Carr had 11 points for the Spartans, 3-2, who played without leading scorer Tyson Walker, 23.0 PPG, who did not dress due to illness but sat on the MSU bench in street clothes. Holloman started in place of Weaver, scoring 12 of his 17 points in the first half. Jeremiah Gambrill led Alcorn State with 12 points, and Jeremiah Kendall added 11. Number 19, Texas 81, Louisville 80. Max Abmas hit a fallaway jumper at the buzzer as Texas outlasted a stiff challenge from Louisville at the Empire Classic. In a game with 21 lead changes and 14 ties, Abmas gave the Longhorns 4-0 the dramatic win off a successful inbounds play. Chandel Reaver inbounded to Caden Shedrick, who quickly got the ball to Abmas. Abmas moved to the right side and released a shot over Sky Clark that cleanly went in. Number 23, Illinois 88, Southern 60. Terrence Shannon Jr. scored 17 of his 24 points in the first half. Dane Dynia added 12 points, and Quincy Guerriere had 10 to lead Illinois in a rout of visiting Southern. A 17-point run in the final 5 minutes of the first game gave Illinois a 45-27 lead at the break. The Illinois, 4-1, weren't threatened by the Jaguars in the second half, extending their lead to as many as 34 points. 9 of the 10 players who dressed for Southern, 1-4, scored. Tyrion Joseph led the way with 16 points, and Jordan Mitchell added 13 points. Ohio State jumps Michigan as Washington, FSU flip-flop, college football. Ralph D. Russo, Associated Press. Ohio State passed Michigan and moved up to number 2nd in the Associated Press's college football poll Sunday, a week before the Big Ten rivals play another top 5 matchup, and number 4 Washington flip-flopped with number 5 Florida State. Georgia remained number one and received a season-high 61 first-place votes. The Bulldogs have been atop the rankings for 23 straight weeks, the second-best streak in the history of the poll, and 10 behind the record held by Southern California. The top 5 teams, all unbeaten, had held their place for 5 straight weeks. All improved to 11-0 on Saturday, but their order changed Sunday. Michigan had been number 2 since the preseason, but slipped a spot after playing its closest game yet. The Wolverines, without suspended head coach Jim Harbaugh, beat Maryland 31-24. The Buckeyes received one first-place vote after blowing out Minnesota. "Our team did a good job of playing focused this weekend," Ohio State coach Ryan Day said after the game. "Not easy to do for anybody, but we did stay in the moment and played well. But the moment we got to that locker room, it's on to the next week." Washington won 22-20 on the road against Oregon State, which slipped 5 spots to number 15 and moved up a spot. The Huskies have their highest ranking since reaching number 4 in 2016, their lone playoff season and the last time the Pac-12 team had a team in the college football playoff. Florida State dropped a spot after beating FCS North Alabama 58-13, but it suffered a far more significant loss. Quarterback Jordan Travis was carted off the field in the first quarter with what appeared to be a serious injury to his lower left leg. Number 6th Oregon, number 7th Texas, number 8th Alabama, and number 9th Louisville all held their spots after victories, and Missouri moved up to number 10. Poll points. Michigan and Ohio State will be a matchup of top 5 teams for the 13th time, the most of any rivalry. The Buckeyes are 7-4-1 in these games. The Buckeyes and Wolverines will enter the season's game exactly as they did last year, both unbeaten, with Ohio State ranked number 2 and Michigan number 3. The Wolverines won the game for the second straight season. "The guys on the team, we think about it every day, especially the way the last 2 years have gone," Buckeyes quarterback Kyle McCord said. "So, to be in kind of the same position that we were last year with a chance to right the ship, I think everyone's definitely excited." Oklahoma-Texas is the only other rivalry that has double-digit top 5 matchups. The Sooners and Longhorns have met 10 times as top 10 teams. Nebraska and Oklahoma are next at 8 top 10 matchups. In and out. Utah, 7-4, is out of the AP top 25 for the first time this season. The Utes plummeted from number 16 after losing 42-18 at Arizona. Utah has lost 3 of 4. The Wildcats are up to 16th. The Utes saw their streak of 33 straight poll appearances dating back to the 2021 season snapped. It was the 5th longest active streak in the country, behind Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Michigan. North Carolina also fell out again after losing to Clemson. Moving into the poll was number 23, Toledo, 10-1, for the first time this season. The Rockets are ranked for the first time since November 1st, 2015. Iowa is back in at number 20th after clinching the Big West Championship with 15-13 victory against Illinois. NBA. Garland leaves Cavaliers over defending champion Nuggets. Associated Press, Cleveland. Darius Garland scored 26 points and rookie Craig Porter Jr. added a career-high 21, powering the Cleveland Cavaliers to a 121-109 victory over the defending NBA champion Denver Nuggets on Sunday night. Nikola Jokic battled foul trouble and finished with 18 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists for the Nuggets. Jokic had been the first player to start a season with 12 games of at least 20 points and 10 rebounds since Elgin Baylor in 1967. Michael Porter Jr. scored 21 points, and Christian Braun had 13 points off the bench for Denver, which dropped its fourth straight game on the road. With this article comes a photo that reads, Cavaliers guard Darius Garland drives on Nuggets guard Julian Strawhether in the second half of Sunday's game in Cleveland. The photo itself shows exactly what the caption says, with Darius Garland on the left driving past Julian Strawhether on the right. 76ers 121, Nets 99. Joel Embiid had 32 points, 12 rebounds, and 9 assists. Tyrese Maxey finished with 25 points and 10 assists, and Philadelphia won its 9th straight game against host Brooklyn. DeAnthony Melton scored 21 points on 8-for-10 shooting for the Sixers. Lonnie Walker IV had 26 points and 6 rebounds for the Nets, who had their 3-game home winning streak come to an end. Raptors 142, Pistons 113. Toronto set a franchise record with 44 assists while handling visiting Detroit in its 11th straight loss. The Raptors have dished out 25 or more assists in 9 consecutive games. Kings 129, Mavericks 113. Domantas Sabonis had 32 points and 13 rebounds. De'Aaron Fox scored 30, and Sacramento defeated Dallas for its 6th win in a row. Luke Doncic scored 25 for the Mavericks. Magic 128, Pacers 116. Paolo Banchero scored 24 points. Franz Wagner added 19, and Orlando routed Indiana to improve to 6-3 on the road. The Magic led by as much as 40 points in the second half. Celtics 102, Grizzlies 100. Kristaps Porzingis scored 26 points, including the winning dunk with 1 minute and 1 second left as Boston held off host Memphis. Porzingis had 8 rebounds and 6 block shots. Thunder 134, Trailblazers 91. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 28 points, Chet Holmgren added 16 with 6 rebounds, and Oklahoma City won its 5th straight game with a rout of host Portland. Suns 140, Jazz 137, 20T. Kevin Durant totaled 39 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds, and Devin Booker scored 22 of his 26 points after halftime to lead Phoenix over host Utah in double overtime. Lakers 105 and Rockets 104. LeBron James hit a free throw with 1.2 seconds remaining to lift Los Angeles over visiting Houston. James had 37 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, and 3 steals. Around the NBA, Cavs Mitchell misses second straight game. Cleveland. Cavaliers guard Donovan Mitchell will sit out a second straight game with a right hamstring strain, missing Cleveland's game against the Denver Nuggets on Sunday night. Mitchell, a four-time All-Star in his second season with Cleveland, ranks 8th in the league in scoring at 29.2 points per game and is tied for 5th in steals at 2.0. The 27-year-old has been bothered by his right hamstring since the first week of the regular season, sitting out 3 total games because of it. The Cavaliers have had their starting lineup together 5 times because of injuries to Mitchell. Point guard Darius Garland and center Jarrett Allen. Garland and Allen have missed 5 games apiece. Evan Mobley, Max Strus, and reserve George Niang are the only other Cleveland players to appear in their first 12 games. Denver will also be shorthanded as a shooting guard. Jamal Murray was inactive for the 6th consecutive game because of a right hamstring strain. Murray is traveling with the Nuggets on their 5-game trip. Stat of the day. 8. Isaiah Joe's strength of consecutive made 3-pointers that began with a 7-for-7 showing on Thursday, ended at 8 in a row with a buzzer beater to close out the first quarter of Oklahoma City's game at Golden State on Saturday. NHL. Leafs complete sweep in Sweden. Associated Press. Stockholm. William Nylander scored at 3:09 on the overtime, and the Toronto Maple Leafs extended their winning streak to 4 games with a 4-3 victory over the Minnesota Wild on Sunday in the final game of the NHL's Global Series in Sweden. Nylander collected the puck, skated towards the net, and fired a shot past Marc-Andre Fleury for his 12th goal of the season. He extended his franchise record season opening point streak to 17 games. "It's pretty special to get the OT winner there," Nylander said. "It was a great 4 points for us there." Nylander had 5 points, 2 goals, 3 assists, in Toronto's 2 games in Stockholm. Mitch Marner had 2 assists to surpass 400 for his career. Joseph Woll stopped 33 shots for the Leafs, who were playing outside North America for the first time in their more than 100-year history. Mats Zuccarello had a goal and an assist, and defenseman John Merrill and Jake Middleton also scored for Minnesota, which lost its fifth straight game. Fleury stopped 21 shots. With this is included a photo. The Maple Leafs' William Nylander, top left, scores on Wild goalkeeper Marc-Andre Fleury during Sunday's game at Avicii Arena in Stockholm, Sweden. The picture shows Nylander close to the goal after having already shot the puck into the goal. Next, Flyers 5, Blue Jackets 2. Ryan Poling had a goal and two assists. Joel Farabee added a goal and an assist, and host Philadelphia beat slumping Columbus for its fifth straight victory. Bobby Brink, Travis Konecny, and Cam York also scored for the Flyers. Samuel Ersson made 20 saves. Boone Jenner and Alexander Texier scored for the Blue Jackets, who have lost 9 in a row. Penguins 3, Golden Knights 0. Alex Nedeljkovic stopped 37 shots in his return from an injury to record his 8th career shutout, and Pittsburgh defeated visiting Vegas. Despite the win, Sidney Crosby and Erik Karlsson both saw lengthy point streaks end. Crosby was on an 11-game point streak. Karlsson was at an 8 games, the longest among defensemen this season. Sabres 3, Blackhawks 2. Eric Johnson snapped a third-period tie. Rasmus Dahlin had a goal and two assists, and Buffalo stopped a 3-game losing streak by topping host Chicago. Blues 3, Ducks 1. Pavel Buchnevich, Jake Neighbors, and Alex Toropchenko scored. Joel Hofer made 30 saves, and St. Louis handed host Anaheim its third straight loss. And that brings us to the end of today's reading of the Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil for November 20th, 2023. The Nonpareil can be heard each weekday at 3 p.m. I'm Cruz Munz from Drake University in Des Moines. Thank you for sharing your time with IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind.